Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. Chuck and Julie show, truth straight up. Everything you want to know, can know, but without any of the BS.
That's right.
And we're supported by our good friends. Where at, Julie?
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Check them out. I check them out every day. They've got a great kind of poll they're doing right now on, is it time to reopen Colorado's economy? One of the things, let me show, we got a packed show today. Actually, we've got Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force coming up with her weekly check-in to all the stuff you need to know. And she's actually got a lot to talk about in terms of the due date, too late petitions, and also some of the stuff they're hearing from folks about reopening the economy. At 3:30, halfway through the show, we're going to talk to Phil Covarrubias. He's it's a nonpartisan election for Adams County Commissioner, but he's a Republican. Great guy.
I think it is.
Is it partisan? Okay. Yes. Well, you know, we don't actually need to be concerned.
Municipalities don't have partisans, but counties do.
Either way, he's the kind of guy I think we know. We've seen what can happen. You've got county commissioners who are on the ball.
And he's a great guy.
Right. We'll talk to him. And then also Tim Neville. You may have noticed, what a scam. So the Denver Convention Center, a lot of bid rigging, it looked like, was going on.
Oh, well, you know, just standard
bid rigging. And so they're on and on and on at Denver's, on and on and on at Mayor Hancock's, on and on and on it. Yeah. So what happens today? The company that's in the middle of all of this, it was being investigated, is going to pay $650,000 settlement, which is a fraction of what they've already been paid. And you can all rest assured they're going to build that 2,000-bed coronavirus hospital at the convention center. But didn't Polis already give us a tour of that on Friday?
Well,
so isn't it built? So what are they going
to
do?
Well, wouldn't like just to go into a bank, rob them, get caught, and kind of look. I'll give some money. Sorry about that. I'm sorry I got caught. I won't get caught again.
Well, I can't get caught again because now I'm doing another project for you.
Well, it doesn't matter. Then I'll just pay a little more money. I mean, it's just the corruption in the city and county of Denver is just incredible.
Guess whose favorite attorney general approved this?
Yeah, Phil Weiser.
There you go. Phil
Budweiser.
Weiser. Never been in a courtroom. But that's how you do things when you've never been in a courtroom.
That's right. You say, hey, just pay a little fine. We'll all be friends. You know, you can contribute to my campaign.
Build a coronavirus hospital that we don't need, by the way. Yes. So, and that's already been built even. So anyway, that's all what's coming up. Wanted to start off today. The president, I think, is holding a news conference right now, but he is announcing the Open Our Country Task Force, and I think over the weekend, and I think all of this is good, we're starting to hear a lot of people talking about beginning to reopen, blah, 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 blah.
We're not going to.
See, Chuck is Mr. Pessimist. I'm Miss Optimist.
And I'm not pessimistic or not.
Well,
nobody wants to do it right away.
Everybody, no, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, the death counts, you know, started at 2,100 was a high, 2,200, 1,500 yesterday, today.
You're talking
1,300 daily. So it's just kind of going like this. It'll get under 1,000 probably in a few days. And the number of cases in New York is really good. They dropped over 100 deaths today. Their hospital coming in, visits and everything else are dropping. Everything's dropping. And they're 40% of the entire country. But should we, you know, so it's clear that
you know, we have to destroy the economy a little bit more.
A little bit more, make people suffer.
Tell me what you think about this. To me, Colorado has acknowledged that their death reports on the daily basis actually don't have very much to do with the number of deaths on that day.
Right.
It's the number of deaths that have been reported to them from all over the state.
It's become meaningless, is what they're saying.
Same thing with the number of people who are testing positive, because that number, the number of people being tested is going up every day. So obviously you're going to have more positive tests. The number that you need to watch, this is what I believe, are the number of hospitalizations.
They will not provide that
information. No, they're not going to tell us that because it's not going up. But when you watch the number of hospitalizations, those are the people who are really sick. Those are the people that flattening the curve is the reason that they've shut the economy down. That appears to be pretty much everywhere going down, the number of hospitalizations. So when you watch those numbers, it's all because reporters, having been one, I can tell you this, are tricky people. They want to continue to say the number of deaths is going up.
Increasing.
Every day it goes up. One person dies, it goes up, right? So it's increasing. The number of deaths is never going to decrease, okay? Like I said, every day in Colorado, 103 people die anyway of everything all over the state. So the number of deaths is never going to be
less.
Zero.
It's never going to decrease.
No.
It's always going to increase.
And or stays stable, right? So what you want to watch, and again, the new cases, they're doing new tests. So those are going to go up too. You want to watch the hospitalization.
They want to keep the state closed, I mean, because that's the way Democrats are. They love the 30s. They love tragedy. They love...
They want all mail balloting, and we'll get into that
too.
Yeah,
they want all mail balloting. They want every dirty, immoral thing possible. Now they're going to blame Trump, saying in January, Dr. Fauci says he told you, and then they play the part of Fauci in February 29th. They go to cruise, no problem.
Again, good time. March 9th. Yeah. Well, and then they kind of play it up, because I read the whole quote too, and a couple things I thought. Number one, Fauci was not directly saying that. No. That was taken out of context. He was saying, we were telling the president we need to start being worried about it, right? The president also did not retweet Fire Fauci. Right. He was retweeting, and I think the president... This is why sometimes the president drives me a little bit crazy with his tweets, because they get out there and they become a thing of their own. I think what the president was trying to say was that the news is fake, right? That the news was twisting things around.
Well, he was pointing out that Fauci had different thoughts or right. really recommended different things earlier. And the end of that tweet, it was fire Fauci, although that wasn't really the purpose of the tweet.
Well, maybe the president was saying, Fauci, keep your mouth, you know,
well,
watch what you say.
You know, if he doesn't get it out there, he's not going to get it out there.
No.
So it's kind of... And Polis is just going to destroy Colorado economy if he possibly can. And then he can take over the state and I don't know.
And then get rid of Tabor and all kinds
get
of other
of
things.
Tabor, yeah.
You know, we'd love to. I see Jan Cook is here. Jan, if you want to turn on your audio and video, because we would love to talk to you about that. Jan Cook is with Colorado Freedom Force. That is one of the many organizations, along with Patrick Neville's Take Back Colorado. Hi there. Keep an eye. Hi there. Hey, are you, for folks who aren't in Colorado... It's like we're not going through enough.
It's Christmas time. Christmas time. It's beautiful out there.
Oh, man. All the parents who've been now trapped with their kids home from school forever.
They're sledding.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, so I hope
they don't arrest you for that.
Yeah, no, you're going to be arrested for that.
You know what happens? The longer we're on this shutdown, the longer we recognize that the bureaucrats are best at restricting us.
Yes.
Getting more money out of us.
Right.
Since they become dumber, not smarter, and not more efficient. And that we're all starting to see this now, and now we're getting sick of it.
Yep.
And we're ready to get away from these people, get out from underneath their thumb, and reopen Colorado.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. I agree. Well, let me back you up, because Jan and I talked earlier, and there are a bunch of things going on. We had some calls, Jan, you were talking
about my presence.
I did talk about your presence. Well, you could have eavesdropped if you wanted. So, you know, last week you talked about how you had on the due date too late petitions, you turned them in, a really high accuracy rate, right?
97.51 accuracy validity rate when they went through the scanning system before it goes back to the Secretary of State for further verification.
And then you found out, so then you guys get to go back and they've extended the time, you can go cure them for the signatures they threw out. But one of the signatures, which this is shocking, and actually it's horrifying, not shocking, that they threw out was yours. And
yes.
Said, what was wrong with mine? They said, no reason, you know. Tell us
the person doing it are
Democrats
belong to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
So why don't you bring us up to speed on that? And we also had quite a few people wanting to know how they can check their signature to see if it was valid or not.
So some people were so upset that they actually sent emails around to former Secretary of State, for example, even Wayne Williams. And Wayne Williams had made the comment that the person in charge of, you know, managing this whole petition process and looking at the signatures and getting staff to review, that is the actual individual who told me that my signature should not have been thrown out, that it absolutely was accurate. So what I simply did was to call the Secretary of State's office to ask them, and they've been great. Others have called them, and they can simply call them, and I'll put it up on your Facebook page after we're done with your show. But they simply have to call 303-894-2200.
Okay.
For 2200. Now, keep in mind, it's all convoluted. There isn't a place they'll give you, like, call one for this, call two for that. There isn't going to be a number that says call, that says specifically to check validation of your petition. So my recommendation is just go to the operator to zero.
Okay.
they will track down who needs to speak with you. But what I've told others, I didn't do this with mine, but I will in the future suggest to people that they ask them to email them a verification if it's valid.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Considered not valid. Just have them follow up with an email to you so that you can see what is it that they're looking at that states that you either were counted or you weren't counted.
And that's going to be very helpful to you guys as you go through the process of, because what you do is you get a chance to go back to some of these signatures that were thrown out and then validate them.
Are you limited? Sure. Are you limited to those signatures?
No. As a matter of fact, the Secretary of State's office is supposed to send due date too late the actual reject signatures. So they'll if they don't have them by now, they should. And I have put in an email into them to find out the status of that.
But you can go and get other signatures.
We can get brand new signatures.
Okay, great.
So that, and there's creative ways you can do it. If you're a precinct leader, you can go around, and that's a great way to talk to people in your precinct and also ask them if they would like to sign the petition. And that's probably what I'm going to do, because I know a lot of people in my precinct actually didn't have an opportunity to sign because we were doing a lot of this at various events and things. So now you can get a little bit more granular if you want to go back out to neighbors and stuff. And most of us that were circulators, we know who signed our petitions the first
time. Right.
So I know exactly where I need to go to get fresh signatures.
Are you a PCP for your?
I am in my area.
Are you also a delegate to the state convention?
I sure am. And thanks for bringing that up, because I'd like to put a plug in for our dear friend, Randy Corcoran.
Yeah, that's where we're going. Yes. That's
who's running to be the national committee man at the state assembly. And a lot of people I know in Douglas County who absolutely think there's some good people running, but they also think that Randy Corcoran just has all the skill sets that we have right now.
Yeah.
Not to mention that, if you're not aware, Randy was part of a team that was national that was really fighting and working with the White House staff and the Republican leadership to really change the narrative on the impeachment sham, that last impeachment sham go around. He was working very closely with the Tea Party patriots nationally as well. I just can't think of a better person, given his president of the Tea Party here at Arapahoe Tea Party, and then his radio show, which he's consistently conservative. I can't think of a better candidate right now for that particular position. What are your thoughts?
Well,
one
of my thoughts is, you know, they had this somewhat strange, so maybe it makes sense or maybe it doesn't. Have the Trump organization pick one of the three from all the various
delegates to go to the national convention.
National convention. They pick Randy, right? And he also ran separately in Arapahoe County, and he was the biggest vote getter in Arapahoe County. So
yes,
going for him. So that's just tremendous for him. He was not a Trump delegate in 4 years ago, but he became a great supporter afterwards. And you'll have all these people like Eli Bremmer, who really is a Jeb Bush kind of guy. Say, well, he didn't vote for him, 4 years ago during the early stages. We'll kind of go, neither did you.
Most of our delegate did not vote for Trump.
Exactly.
No, and I think Randy has been, like you said, it's an important point that the Trump campaign itself has asked Randy to be a delegate.
Yes,
so,
yes,
no, yes. You're absolutely right. Let me switch on a little bit, Jan. One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is, because I know you guys do a great job at Colorado Freedom Force of organizing petitions, doing calls to action. We started out talking about the president with this, Open the Country Task Force. And I know people like Michelle Malkin and probably with some cause have some issues with some of the people.
Well, they're all big business people.
But I'm glad to see you going, what are you hearing from the people you talk to in terms of reopening Colorado?
Well, people are really from various different organizations like Colorado Freedom Force, Colorado Concerned. Other groups are starting to talk and say, look, we need to reopen our state. And I have an email that's gone out, a Facebook post, which is also on the Chuck and Julie Show Facebook page. It's under commentary. I posted the phone number of Jared Polis, as well as where you can make a comment to him.
Okay.
A video that is saying we need to reopen the state. And that's what everybody is saying. Right. Look, It's not that people deny that the COVID-19 wasn't real. They do believe that there's a lot of good things that came out of that in terms of hygiene and precaution and things that we're going to do differently moving forward. But to take a whole population and shut it down when we already know who the most vulnerable are, people that have health conditions, people
right.
that are elderly, these are our most vulnerable. We need to get the rest of the state back working. Yeah.
Here's what I think, Jan. You know, for instance, the other day we went to order dinner from Noodles. Who?
Yes.
Not Noodles, from Boston Market. By the way, they don't pay me to say this, but they have prime rib now. I was like, whoa, don't be back. But at any rate, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, so if I can social distance picking up an order at Boston Market, I could probably, and if I can social distance going to Lowe's, I can certainly social distance and wear my mask if I want to go to Appliance Factory, if I want to go to Hobby Lobby, if I want to go to Chico's or something, right? I agree with you. It's like no one's saying it's not bad. No one's saying it's not serious. No one's saying it's not real. But we are saying what it appears to me, and there was a great article, I mentioned this to you in the Denver Post, where they talked to Doug Friednash, great guy, lobbyist for the Brownstein Law Firm, and he basically acknowledged whether you're essential or non-essential. And
depends on your lobbyist.
It depends on how good your lobbyist is or whether you had one in the first place. So, you know, now that we acknowledge that's what's behind this all, let's just go ahead and implement, get some safety precautions, common sense.
Well, I think masks are a great idea, quite frankly, and so are a lot of other things. But this weird desire to punish businesses by the left is strange.
You know, even over the weekend, my neighbors and I got together because we're going to be doing some mitigation around our properties with Scrub Oak.
Uh-huh.
We have our masks on. We're neighbors. And we know we're all in that age group that we've got to be careful. We did the social distancing. We wore our masks. We went around our properties with the landscape engineers talking about what we wanted to do. I think it's an education program now they need to shift to and getting people back to work. And they're picking winners and losers. Let me give you an example. Laura Thomas, who is a Highlands Ranch Douglas County commissioner, was talking about a battle they got into with Tri-County Health again.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because Perry Park, which is the Perry Park golf course,
sure.
They were planning to prepare Easter meals and have curbside service. Well, what happened was the Tri-County Health Department decided they couldn't do those meals.
Why?
So Laura Thomas and a bunch of other people went to battle and said, wait a minute, you can't do this. This is an area, if you think about it, Perry Park, for those of you that don't know, is out near Larkspur. And it's a captive audience. There's not a ton of restaurants around those residential areas. This was a really nice thing to be able to provide for the residents. But because they got into this brawl trying to prove why it's right, Perry Park, they management got scared and they had to actually reverse their order to their suppliers because they were afraid that the decision wouldn't come down on their favor in time and they'd be stuck with all this food. So guess what Tri-County decided they could do? We'll let you make that food, but it was too late at that point. They had
Sir. There have been winners and losers in this corona war.
But they said to them, you can make that food, but you can't have the golf course opened up for people to golf.
Okay? Go walk around.
But it's too late for everything at this point.
No, you're right.
Tri-County Health has lost more credibility, I think, than any organization.
Well, and here's the thing, Jan, you know, because you look at the ripple effects, right? So, okay, so they can't prepare the food. Therefore, the people who are going to be working there, getting paid at least something, aren't getting paid. What about the people who would be supplying the food? They're not getting paid. What about the agriculture industry that is growing that, which is now throwing it away, right? It's not like the lettuce last.
But the one person who is getting paid without a single layoff is all the people at Tri-County Health.
Exactly.
That's the part that's...
We've got to figure out if 10% of businesses are down, 10% of Tri-County Health is down. I mean, we don't need all the bureaucrats.
You know, that is such a good point because they don't feel the pain.
No.
They have no vested interest in moving this along quickly because there's no pain for them. They're still getting their paychecks.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, and we talked, and then we'll let you go because I know you have so many things, but we had talked a couple times with Jeff Allen from the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce, and he pointed out that the businesses he talked to said, okay, look, we can be okay. for a couple months, for a couple weeks, right? Maybe even a month. But he's, but now we're starting to go into, you know, we're starting to push a month. We need to get people back working. We need to get people.
Well, Polis extended the emergency, whatever that exactly means, until May 7th. Why?
That's right.
Because God knows why. Well, he just did because he felt like it, or somebody recommended it to him, or Tri-County Health said it's going to be a great idea. Or who knows what the reason is.
Well, and that's why, Jan, you guys are so important, because I think it's important that we start giving people like Adams County or the Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas, like Patrick Neville, some of the people who are pushing to reopen it. I think the rest of us as citizens need to give them cover. And I think we need to let them know we got your back. So if you guys, you know, if you, I don't know if you're going to launch another petition or what, but when you can take that and say, look, we've got all these people who
defund Tri-County Health.
Right now, we have people calling Polis, and that information is at the Chuck and Julie Facebook page. It's also on Colorado Freedom Force, and I've been posting it in other groups. Keep in mind, we have something called the Colorado Freedom Force weekly newsletter. If you're not getting this newsletter, it's because you haven't gone to the website to sign up. At ColoradoFreedomForce.com, you will get this free report every single Sunday until the legislative session is over. And by the way, that looks like that could go on and on.
It's never. Well, now they go to court and says consecutive days, right? That doesn't mean anything.
Constitution doesn't matter. You can change it by the regulation statutory interpretation. A constitution doesn't count as long as the Democrats win.
Well, that's right. So, Jan, where can people, because I know you're pushing, you guys do a great job on YouTube. Where can people find out, get more information about you and help your cause?
Yeah, go to ColoradoFreedomForce.com. As soon as you join, you will automatically get a free freedom report. All of our Facebook pages, social media is right there at ColoradoFreedomForce.com. Join us everywhere you can. We are collaborating with many freedom fighting groups. We're not an isolated group here. Right. So thanks so much, guys.
Hey, thank you. As always, thank you, Jan. Jan Cook,
great to see you.
Thank you. The state republic is in safe hands as long as we've got folks like Jan Cook kind of helping us out.
Not so good until you got the present Supreme Court and the present governor.
That's true. Hey, we do have now, though, we have Phil Covarrubias with us on the phone, as promised. He is running for Adams County Commissioner. So let me bring you on, Phil, and say, hey, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys today? Thanks for having me.
Well, I
got a chance to meet Phil over at the executive committee at Adams County, and I was really impressed, a really dynamic guy. Everybody was just going, God, we got to get this guy elected.
You know, here's the other thing, Phil, too, though, when you say, how are we? We were talking with another friend. So we have a third grader, right? So far today, he's played like 8 million hours of video games. It's like, it's hard enough having him home from school. They don't have their classes until tomorrow. At least we've been able to go outside, but now it's just snowing. We had another friend where he was like, please, somebody save us. He's got like a 5 and a 3-year-old, exactly.
Well, Phil, why don't you talk about for a second, how county commissioner races are running in Colorado for yourself and others, for particularly Adams County.
Are you there?
You're asking me about it?
Yeah, I'm asking how is it done? Because I know you have to live in various districts, although you're elected countywide and all that. Well, it's not the
here's what I don't like. So I'm running in 5, which is Mary Hodges' seat right now, but the whole entire county votes on whoever their county commissioners are going to be. And it's off-putting because if I'm running in 5, I should be running in 5. So a county commissioner's got to cover the entire county, and even though their seat only represents a certain amount of people. And so that was one of the things I found to be off-putting when I started running as a commissioner.
That just seems kind of weird.
So it just compares how you do countywide against how she does countywide. Your Democratic opponent, and whoever gets the most votes countywide is a representative from District 5. Is that correct?
Exactly. And it's hard because I live in Brighton, and I was a state representative and for House District 56. I knew exactly where I needed to go, the people that I needed to be in touch with, and that sort of a thing. And so when you have to run a race as a commissioner – or for the commissioner's position, you have got to really put in, well, five times the effort in order to try to win your seat for just the, whatever number you're in, which for me, again, is five.
It's
a lot more extra work.
Well, you're also largely dependent upon other people. I mean, there's no way you have the money to send out mailers to, I think there are 450,000 people in Adams County, and who knows how many mailing addresses. That's a huge number of people to have to reach, you know, unless you're independently wealthy. And I know you're a hardworking guy, but probably don't have lots of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for mailers. And you can only reach some of the people by calling them and touching hands.
You can't knock on doors now.
So you depend a lot upon the state party, which in Colorado is non-existent. You depend a lot upon the county party. And we've got a great county chairman, but there's no money coming in from the state. So it's you know, you're going a lot going to be dependent on maybe good or bad of how Trump does against Biden, because you just can't reach that many people given your resources and time and everything else.
No, it's impossible. And that's why I wish we still did it the old way, so that we can, each county commissioner could really zero in on the particular district and the people. But of course, it's not like that. And being that, you know, my opponent, all she really has to do is have a D next to her name, and that gives her the upper hand. So we have to work many, many times harder. But I think that's where passion comes in. You have to really love what you're doing and have the fire of fight in you for freedom in order to go try to conquer those odds. Because yes, it can be done. And I'll say this. We have with Mayor Jan Coleman and Benjamin Hausman, Jan Coleman and Thornton and Benjamin Hausman in Commerce City, the tides are turning. We are starting to get some good Republicans in some of these seats as mayor and that.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you,
Ben,
the president.
Ben's got 60,000 people in that one. And I'm not sure how many in Thornton, but it's probably that bigger than that even. So you got some, you know, there is some good Republican candidates. And of course, we used to have Republican county clerk and recorders and sheriff and all that. And they got thrown out in the last election.
Let me ask you about this, Ben, in terms of this race in particular. We'll give you a chance to get into the particulars about where people can find out.
Give him a background about himself.
Let me ask this question first. We're going to do the lead first, then we'll back into it. To me, one of the reasons, because many people don't pay that much attention to county commissioner races, right? But what we're going through right now in Colorado to me shows just how important local is, right? The county commissioners right now were the ones who could overturn the Tri-County Health Department, who could say, no, we're not going to close our businesses. I mean, the county commissioners for the various communities and the restrictions that have been put on or that we wish hadn't been put on. I mean, the local, hyper-local right now, I think is really where a lot of the power, where we need people like you in there.
I couldn't agree more. When my wife and I took a look at what we were going to do this time around, and I looked at the positions from county coroner all the way up, it's all Democrats. We lost everything in this last bath that we took. Right. But I think a lot of that was emotional because of the president and all the things that were going on.
Nope.
So I think we're going to see back.
I hate to tell you, because I sat around and all of a sudden, all those positions were ahead. Our key people were ahead, and then came in the ballot harvesting. That's where all the votes came in at the end. Those were all the votes that turned every one of those elections. It had nothing to do with the president. It had all to do with ballot harvesting. And unless Republicans can figure out a ground game, it's going to be very difficult for them. It was not a hatred of Trump, because Trump did well in Colorado 2 years before. And nothing Trump has done since then has made him less popular with Republicans. We lost Adams County because the huge undulage of ballot harvesting that came in at the very last moment. And I'm afraid that's going to happen again unless we figure out some way to do our own ballot harvesting. But that's just
no, I agree. It's there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot more than you would think.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I appreciate you saying that, Chuck.
Well,
tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about, you know, your business, and you were elected before in a House seat, state House seat and all that. Give us everybody your background.
Okay. Yeah, real quick. I was born and raised right here in Colorado. I grew up in Arvada, went to Arvada High School. I joined the Marine Corps in 1986 and served as a combat engineer and a marksmanship instructor. From there, my dad's had an excavation company since 1980, so I went and worked for the family business when I came back home. And then I went to work for XL Energy for 10 years as a lead foreman, so I installed all the gas, electric, and all of the energy, I mean, everything you can think of. I cut my teeth in politics on the Brighton Planning Commission just to kind of give back a little bit with some knowledge of infrastructure, you know, things that I already have a background in. And from there, we ran for a House representative as a no name, really. But and the way that I did it is I just told the truth. And people really seem to like that. Imagine that.
So there you go.
So
keep going. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, so you know, a lot of people didn't think I had quite the experience. But once we won at assembly, it was, we just went and kept doing all the things we were supposed to do. And then we ended up winning. And I went down to the Capitol and got a real education on how this stuff really works, making bills and that sort of a thing. And one of the things that I'm really, really big on is career and technical education. I visited Pitkins and Warren Tech and Emily Griffith because the career and tech jobs are the big jobs. They're well-paying jobs. And, you know, not every kid needs to go to a four-year college, get into all that student loan debt, and still not have a job or a way to put food on the table afterwards. So I'm a big fan of apprenticeships coming from the construction industry and, you know, what we've done in my family over the last 40 years here in Colorado. So those are some of the things I really try to push forward on. And you know, fighting corruption. There's right. always a bunch of BS going on with in politics, and I just want to – I really – my goal is just to be honest and to really represent the people the way the Constitution and the forefathers wrote it out. And that's at whatever capacity, whether it's a state rep or Congress or dog catcher. It all should have the same principle behind it.
What about oil and gas in Adams County? What do you think about that? Or is that a
– Well – the oil and gas, we had a big last year, I think it was last August, we had a big meeting and many of the people from Adams County showed up and it was harsh. I went down there and I spoke to the five commissioners and I tell them where it's really all about because I understand it better than any of them do because they do it for a living, right?
Right.
And I don't appreciate how none of them can really think for themselves. It's like, oh, this is how we're voting. So no matter what the people say, we are going to do whatever the governor wants us to do or whatever is posh. And I don't agree with it because, you know, we have 260,000 jobs in gas and oil, bringing in over $1.3 billion. Whoa. That's how we build our schools and fix our roads and do the things we need to. And the other end of it is I get tired of the myths about gas and oil.
Right.
Because the truth of it is that our gas and oil people, they follow every federal regulation times 10, then every state regulation, every county. I mean, they got so many regulations on them, it's amazing they even want to drill.
Well, some of them don't anymore, right? Yeah,
they're like, we're just going to... It makes it worse.
Until Adams County finds out what they've killed and how they're going to try to make up for it, which they won't.
Well, Phil, where can people, because we've got Tim Neville coming on here in a couple minutes, so we're switching topics a little bit, but final question for you, where can, this is a November election, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, where can people find out, where can they help, where's your one-stop shop for you?
My one-stop shop website is philforadco.com, so that's philforadco.com.
All right,
well, I wish you the best. We'll be voting for you. I can count you that and try to get everybody we can to support you because I think you're one of those kind of hardworking, kind of salt of the earth guys that we really need representing us.
That's right. And tell you guys, keep in touch with us, okay? Anytime we can help out, we're happy to.
Thank you both so much. I really appreciate it. God bless.
Hey, all you right, too. Take care. All right, guys, that's Phil.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Phil for ADCO. Thank you. You know, again, I think these local races, this is what we've seen, right? How important the local races are.
Well, I can tell you, if I was going to run for any position, you know, and he went through it,
right,
of his own, the one that is the most attractive, honestly, short of governor or mayor of Denver, is county commissioner, because county commissioners get paid anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000.
It's almost like being a Denver City Council person. Well, not quite.
You're one of five people. You're not down the legislature, one of 100. And so you have an enormous amount of influence. And it's not a full-time job. So, you know, it's not intended to be a full-time job. So you can do other things. They want people who are not just career politicians.
Right.
So it's really the only problem in Adams County is,
we want to do a whole show on that to explain exactly why, because we're reading a lot about it and hearing a lot about ballot harvesting. And to me, a lot of them are missing the point, or well, one of the points about ballot harvesting, but that's a different thing. Want to see if Tim Neville is listening. He can kind of join us via Zoom. If he's not, maybe then I can text our producer. There, I see
there he is.
There he is. All right. Holy cow.
Flashing up.
Ask and it shall
you
be.
You shall receive.
Hey, Tim, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
How are you guys doing today?
We're good. So I wanted to get your take on this, because a lot of things to me kind of fell into place. So we see Jared Polis in his construction hat and mask in front of a Colorado Convention Center announcing how they're turning it into a 2,000-bed hospital facility, even though we don't need it, right? Even though the number of people we have in Colorado hospitals right now from coronavirus is only 1,500, and it appears to be going down. But then lo and behold, today there's a story in the Denver Post about one of the companies, I think Mortensen, that was involved in the whole bid rigging allegations at the convention center, gets off with essentially a slap on the wrist fine that they've already recovered in their money. And as part of it, rather than having to pay cash, they're going to build a 2,000-bed hospital at the convention center, which, by the way, was ready to go. So shed some light on us to what's going on here.
Well, I think the challenge is shedding more light on it, because there's another piece of this, too. You know, not only was Mortensen involved with it, but the company that was working supposedly on behest of the government was Trammell Crow.
Right.
And Trammell Crow, that investigation is still ongoing. But Trammell Crow was working with Mortensen to provide information, inside information, to help set bid rigging.
Right.
So we don't have the Trammell Crow investigation is still ongoing. So what we have basically is an investigation, part of it that the Attorney General has decided that a $650,000 settlement to be earmarked, I guess, out of anybody else's view, to be utilized for specific instances or specific, you know, basically for this 2,000-bed facility, which you're right, it's not going to be needed. It's going to be up, supposedly, the target date is the 18th. We'll be past the peak. And so what do we have? What are we going to see? How is the billing going to be done? Is there going to be actually any work done? I mean, this just stinks to high heaven.
It doesn't. I mean, because it just called me crazy. Yes. But that's just have Mortensen give us the $650,000. We could distribute it to all the people who are being made jobless by Polis. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like, so we're going to waive their fine, right? And by the way, they can still not keep bidding on other projects, right? So,
that's correct. There is. If you read the article, I went into Colorado Public Radio. And it says the settlement with Weiser's office also requires Mortensen officials, and I always love this. I know you, Chuck, I know you'll love this particularly, to make a presentation on ethics and antitrust compliance at a four-year college or university in Colorado as part of an ethics.
How to avoid antitrust and rigging. Criminals teach the
ethics.
Ethics. Here, we're corrupt, so we want to tell you kids about corruption. Why don't we just jail them all? They're just disgusting.
Wait, so part of the settlement, so once again, so these people who are using our tax dollars to redo the convention center, so the Democrat Phil Weiser with Democrat Jared Polis, Democrat Mayor Hancock, they're having to do nothing. They're getting some phony, because my guess would be that whatever the hospital bed thing that they're building is going to magically come out to the exact same total as their fine or whatever you want to call it.
Because you don't need any beds, so it.
And then in the meantime, though, they're going to teach the ethics course.
Ethics, yeah. Nothing better than a rapist to teach young men how to perform sex ed. And at the same time, they do the Firestone, right? Now you got another big one. Where's all that money going? Well, Phil Weiser is going to direct it to public projects. Oh, of course.
Of course. And the whole thing is it can be directed pretty much to any public project they'd like it to be directed to.
Exactly. Now,
I haven't done any kind of legwork on the backside. Maybe you guys might, other people may, you know, who actually contributes to these various campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
Attorney General Weiser and others. But I'm sure that you'll find if you follow the money trail long enough. And here's the other question. $650,000, is that an appropriate settlement? We don't know.
Right.
Should it have been millions?
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
Well, we know that on a $233 million project, what percentage of that is incredibly small, right? I mean, it's just...
Four-tenths of a percent, maybe?
Yeah, four-tenths of a percent. That's throwaway money for Mortensen. That's a joke.
You figured their profit margin was probably what, 15, 20% probably at the bottom line?
Yeah.
Well, and as I understand it too, sometimes...
Nothing's better than to get caught bid rigging because you know, you just give 4/10 to 1% and you go to some college and you moralize to a bunch of kids who'll never get a job. That's great.
Well, and then you build some hospital in the convention center that we don't need that. I mean, you were in the legislature forever. You know, not forever, but for a long time, for a very short time in your young life. And talk about sort of because we did a little bit of that with the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. When you start looking at some of the contracts and how it's worked, we did it at CDOT. But talk about how all of that has worked and awarded. And it seems to me that you have the same group of people making a ton of money every time.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, I can tell you, Colorado seems to be one of the most, it's such an insider game right now. And I think what people don't understand is it's not just Democrat/Republican. It's insider versus
everybody else.
You're on the outside.
Right.
And that's the way it goes. And of course, then government works to basically set these things up to reward those insiders.
Right.
So when I was on the Legislative Audit Committee, we would see this over and over and over again. And the challenge is, based upon the way the Colorado government is, that governor's office really holds a tremendous amount of power to focus on whether these bids are more in the open or not so much in the open.
Right.
And of course, now we did have a little bit of power with one legislative body, one person minority, but it wasn't much. And now with nobody, with no power in state government, I mean, I think you saw today, I don't know if you noticed on the governor's press conference where he stated basically that these private property owners that have motels and hotels, it would probably be in their best interest to get on to the pork barrel spending by the state government to get in line with that, because we know they're not going to be doing well until the economy recovers. So since the governor shut down our economy, he's telling them, you know, you might want to get up to the government trough and take as much as you possibly can. It would be in your best interest.
And
it doesn't get any more corrupt than this.
No, and that's it. Oh, by the way, vote for me. Well, and let's go back to this.
I'm not sure because everybody has their own biases, but Polis comes across awful to me. I've watched the press conferences and he just blabbers, says nothing. I mean, he's the opposite. You know, he is not becoming the new Governor Cuomo. He just seems to blather. Not unintelligently, but he never says anything.
Well, there's nothing to say. It's like, I'm unnecessarily shutting down the economy, and then you can get in line at the government trough, and then what else is there to know?
I'm not sure. I don't know Governor Polis's staff very well. I didn't have an opportunity to work with Governor Polis when I was in office. I had a better understanding of Governor Hickenlooper and his people, but I don't feel that that there's that interconnection with the real world out there.
Right.
Governor Hickenlooper had his challenges and his views, of course, and we disagreed a lot. I think I had more bills vetoed by Governor Hickenlooper than any other Republican. So kind of a, badge of honor. But at the same time, we could gather information, and I just don't think Governor Polis is connected. I think that the pressures that he gets from the Speaker of the House and the Senate President, Democrats, that also weigh into this whole thing. I just don't think he's getting a clear view between that, let's say the far left, and then the cronies,
right,
in the business community.
But let me, I do know some of his advisors, And all of them are just highly political people. And it's the politics they care about. They don't care about average business. They don't do business. They're not involved with regular. They are political beings. And he appointed the head of CDOT, political beings. They are very political beings. And that's who he gets his advice from. Well, and that's the way he thinks. He's a very, you know, he took his mother's internet business business and put it on the internet and made millions. But really, he's not a businessman. He's a politician. And he thinks like a politician. And he thinks in political wants. Everybody said about him, well, you'll be surprised at how much, you know, he's far left than you think. And everything he's done is far left. I mean, he hasn't been that kind of centrist governor that people thought. It just hasn't been.
No, and I think the reality is too, and Governor Hickenlooper found this out too. The reality is, if you don't have any kind of balance in that state legislature, even if he decided to tack ways and move into the center, I don't think he'd be that successful in Colorado because of the far left legislature. Remember, that's who came up with the idea of taking these private properties. And these are the people, you know, as I think I kind of nicknamed them. Well, I nicknamed them a few things, but I won't repeat all of them. But many of the far left in the legislature decided that they needed to put pressure on Governor Polis to basically include this takeover of private properties under this emergency order. That kind of tells you where they're coming from.
Right. Well, and to go back to what we started with, just so people are clear too. So there was a scandal erupted about a couple years ago now. They were redoing the convention center. It turned out the two companies, Mortensen and Trammell Crowe, were somehow, it all came to light when there was like some room that wasn't in any plans. And to make a long story short, it turned out that there was a lot of insider information and essentially.
And these are the biggest of companies. Right. Trammell Crowe and all. These are not just little, you know. Then Trammell Crowe would take some small subdivisions and, well, it was them, and we've gotten rid of them.
Right. And so, but anyway, so big rigging. So what happened is that the announcement has been made that they're going to punish Mortensen, essentially. But it's like you said, it'd be as if I was working at a 7-Eleven. I was robbing the 7-Eleven. They caught me. I settled with them. And they said, okay, now we're going to let you go back to work at the 7-Eleven, by the way, since you're promising not to steal from us anymore.
And lecture to other 7-Eleven clerks.
And now you can tell other 7-Eleven clerks, how bad it is to steal from 7-Eleven. And in the meantime, you know, we want you to maybe sweep the side. I mean, it's a joke, really.
Well, it is. And you hit it on the head. When you're in a situation where you get caught for something and then there is no downside risk except, you know, 0.4 of a point on the bottom line, you know, any business person I know says, well, that's probably a necessary investment. And
well, here's the thing I noticed too, Tim, when you were looking at some of the emails that were revealed during all of this, and I'm still not sure underlying Denver politics, why this came up, but it did.
Right,
Rafael Espinosa would be good to talk to about this, but it's clear in these emails, these guys aren't being tricky, right? They weren't worried about being caught. This did not seem to be like, oh God, we've never done this before. So hopefully it appeared to me that this was just how they did business, only tragically or not directly for them, it kind of became public this time.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think when you get into companies the size of Mortensen, Trammell Crowe, and you have these projects that are designed so it takes a very, very large nucleus company to actually pull these things off, and there's no real process to allow a variety of companies in, this is what you're going to get over and over again.
Hey, before we let you go, I know you're, you know, follow ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Yes. They had a survey up and they were talking to people about, hey, you know, should Polis reopen the government? What are you hearing from folks and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think I shared with you guys was probably been, 2 weeks ago we talked about, and I made the point that it's time to go back to work now. I think that position has become more of a dominant position out there, not with everybody. Because it's like anything else. You have people that either had a fear or, frankly, they've just taken a position and they're afraid to change the position more than they're afraid about coming down with coronavirus or the,
you know.
Well, if you're in the city of county of Denver and you work for either the city of county of Denver, the state of Colorado, the federal government, and that's a lot of people that are included. They don't mind any of this. They haven't missed one penny. On one, and they got to stay home, which maybe is good for us, but it's been a paid vacation. And so the people who are hurt you know, they are voiceless by and large because they're unemployed, they're having a tough time. But you know, then you have the, you know, you have organs like the Denver Post, who's begging you to do a subscription while they're urging the governor on
to keep everybody down.
I mean, they haven't noticed they've got no ads in their paper because there are no businesses. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, the beautiful thing from being a conservative is that none of this is sustainable. We all take a look at that. We all realize that the deficit to state government, I mean, you heard Paulus saying his big focus is to have the federal government basically backload the state government.
Right.
And of course, that's where the battle in the legislature needs to be. But I think that the state legislature, the Republicans of the legislature, you know, I know one of them pretty well, but, you know, I cannot tell him what to think. And, you know, Patrick has a mind of his own. But, you know, I think it's time for all the Republicans to double down. And I think for some of the Democrats to join them and realize that no matter what plan you have for these dollars, the dollars aren't there. None of it's going to be sustainable. It's going to start impacting the state. And I do believe at some point you're going to see, as Texas opens up, as possibly Utah is more open. Wyoming has been open. Jobs are movable in many cases, especially if you have an economy now that is based upon people staying at home. Why the heck do they need to stay in Colorado?
Wyoming works free.
We have to compete against every other state. Right. And I think if the governor had some smarter people, or maybe some more balanced, as you mentioned, Chuck, people that were business savvy, that were working with him, they would understand that and start taking a look, not just the next month or the next week or whatever it might be, but long-term here for the state of Colorado. You know, even a politician should be able to see that. He hasn't yet, but we'll see.
Tim, right. Thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. Always great to talk to you. And hang in there. Hang in there.
Thank you, guys. Keep the faith.
All right. Thank you. Hey, and I want to read, we got a text from Karen Cataline, our friend who has her own show on BBS Radio, Spouting Off. Let me get to it. She says she certainly supports any group that's pushing to reopen our state, but this is a good point. It's still rather backward to ask permission from the guy who overstepped his bounds in the first place. Right, we have the rights already. It's just that too few of us know that. Karen, you're absolutely right. I was kind of talking about that last time. I was sort of fomenting civil disobedience.
Disability.
I mean, that's absolutely right. We shouldn't have to ask, hey, can I open my business? And I understand it's tricky right now, but I think Tim is right on the money when he says that the position that we need to start talking about reopening has become the dominant position.
But you have to understand what he's talking about. What they're hoping is all this money that's coming down from Washington will end up with the state paying state workers.
Rather than going to people.
They're not going to, well, going to state workers are technically people in some cases. but it's just flowing out and they'll miss nothing.
Well, and here's the thing. Let me ask you this. So if you're the taxpayer, though, it's this pocket or this pocket.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're homeless, it comes in from the federal government. Right. But if you're me, it's just like all coming out, you know. So we'll see that. I mean, the president had his news conference today talking about reopening. I think, though, like Tim said, you see Texas says we are putting a plan in place, right? You see other states starting to talk about this. My prediction is that, as Trump says, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And by the way, it happened on Easter, which is what he had said beginning.
The country itself will open up, start opening up, and be opening up on May 1st.
Yes.
The governor will not want to be ahead of the curve on that one. And so he'll graciously allow us to reopen on the 7th or the 14th or something after he's done maximum damage and he can pay his Mortensen fine off.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there are other businesses, too, that are starting to say, you know what, we're looking at kind of, because the definitions of who's essential and who is not essential are so weird and so vague. And it's all lobbying, as Doug Friedman, great guy, pointed out, right? Are saying, well, we're going to reopen. And I think here again, I think as citizens, we need to be in support of those people. We need to say, you know what? We're going to go play in our playground. We're going to social distancing. We're going to shoot baskets in our front yard. We're going to drive-in at churches. Right. You got to be common sense. I get that. And I think people do get that. You go out right now, most people have a mask on, right?
I do. I think wearing a mask is a good idea. I mean, you know, it's not hard. That doesn't mean that, you know, you can't. Why can I go to these stores but not other stores? I mean, just because they have a better lobbyist?
Right.
They're more crooked. than the other ones. I mean,
well, and why is it that Amazon workers can continue to fulfill orders, right? But if you work at a like TJ Maxx, right? They said, I know this because I tried to order from them. They're not doing a lot. They're not doing online ordering because their workers can't. I'm like, well, why can one company do it and the other company can't? That just doesn't seem to make sense, right? Well, so
it makes sense in its own way.
Well, in its own wacky way.
All right, everybody. Yeah, great to have you. Well, oh yeah, we got Colorado Citizen Press. Again, gotta watch that. Every morning I go down to it. It's the only one I really trust in Colorado.
Colorado's conservative voice. On Wednesday, you heard us talking about Randy Corcoran. Everybody knows who Randy Corcoran is.
Everybody.
He needs no introduction. But we're going to have him on and talk about why it's so important to have him be elected to a national committee role. It's kind of a party insider thing. But for
it's a war between the grassroots, God-fearing, decent people and the stooges. For the rich folks.
Exactly. So you're going to have one.
So that's as non-biased as I can be.
And before we give you the final word, let me also tell folks, you can get all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. Also, love to have you at chuckandjulie.com. You can go to YouTube. It's right there in the upper left-hand corner. Check on that and subscribe to us. We'd love to have you subscribe. We're trying to hit 1,000 because then we can bring you so much more information. YouTube kind of limits us. So don't forget to subscribe if you go there.
And that's it. So thanks, everybody. We'll be back Wednesday with Randy Corcoran and lots of other great guests. It's Chuck and Julie, True Straight Up.